All right, why don't we get started? Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the steps 4 and 5, Courage and Integrity, Finding Our Higher Spiritual Self meeting. My name's Peter. I'm a compulsive overeater and your speaker, hi everyone, for this meeting. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you're speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording and you must sign a release up on the table after the meeting. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps of OA? Please, come on up.
Hi, Rhonda, compulsive eater. Hi. We've admitted we're powerless over food and that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we have tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you. Thank you.
The format for this 55-minute session is as follows. I'll share for 10 to 15 minutes on the topic, followed by open sharing. Again, the topic for this session is Steps 4 and 5, Courage and Integrity, Finding Our Higher Spiritual Self. And I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on the topic. As I said, I'm Peter, a compulsive overeater. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. And just a little bit about me. I have some notes here. I'm eight years abstinent. Second time around. I've been coming to meetings pretty much regular basis for 30 years. I'll be 50 this year, so you know, do the math. And my first meeting was July 1983. Compulsive overeater my whole life. When I came to OA, I think the thing that amazed me was people talking about what was going on inside. Not so much the eating, but what was going on inside. And people were able to give voice to things that I felt, but I couldn't even articulate. I didn't have the vocabulary to do that. Part of it may have been, you know, being 18 or 19. But part of it also was just not having this concept or language of recovery. And looking at steps 4 and 5, it was interesting, thinking about courage and integrity and finding our spiritual self. One of the things that, you know, I always wondered about is, you know, step 3, you know, where I turn my will and life, make a decision to turn my will and life over to the care of God. How do I know I've done that? How do I know that I really turned, made that decision to turn my will and care over to the, over to a higher power? It's by writing out my fourth step. That's how I know. I have enough faith that this thing is going to work, that I'm going to sit down and start writing the things that I have not wanted to share and then share them with another person. And one of the things about how the steps, as I see them, that they're set up is that it's prepare and execute. Step four, you know, made an inventory. Step five, share it. Step six, take a look at my character defects. Become willing to have them, removed. And step seven, asking them to be removed. Made a list of people I had harmed. Step nine, go in and begin taking a look at amending those relationships. So it's like prepare and execute, prepare and execute, prepare and execute. Everything for me, this really comes from steps four and five. The integrity and courage, part of it is setting down and putting down those things that I did that I felt ashamed about, people I resented. But I think also, too, and there's a myriad different ways to do the fourth step and do your inventory. I'm not going to get into that so much because they're equally valid. I did it as it was in the big book. I made the column, I'm resentful at, I'm resentful at myself. Why? I am constantly worried about money, and it overshadows everything I do. Well, what does that affect? Does it affect my self-esteem, personal relations, ambitions, pocketbook, maybe sexual relations? Those are the five areas. What are the character defects that, if they were removed, I no longer have this resentment towards myself? And unrealistic expectations. A lot of people have problems and worries about money. Perfectionism. I'm not perfect. Not trusting in God. I don't believe that I'm going to be taken care of, and therefore I have to make sure it happens. And, I go through these character defects, and then I share them with another person. And sometimes they add a character defect or two that I hadn't written down, which I wasn't ready for. And then in six and seven, I ask my higher power to have those character defects removed. And then I act as if they've been removed. I start living my life as if the fear of financial insecurity has been removed. And so four and five is really, really important to the overall program. And, one of the things, apart from putting down on paper the things I'm afraid to share, is a self-discovery process. And in some ways, it really, I think the integrity that they talk about in the title has to do with, am I willing to take a look at what's inside of me that is causing me to have the same relationship time and time again, to be in that cycle time and time again, and find myself constantly at that same point, whether it's with food, relationships, work, and then repeating it? Am I willing to see what's underneath that I'm bringing to the table, that I'm bringing to make these situations reoccur? Because I was the ultimate victim. When I started looking at the fourth step, I said, I was in college. I didn't harm anybody. There's no one here, that I need to put on my list. And my person I was working with at the time, not my sponsor, said, well, did anyone harm you? And I go, yeah. Put them down. Start there. Because everything was done to me. Nothing was my fault. And so what I had to be willing to do is take a look and say, what's my part? What are those character defects that I'm bringing to the table that make me enter into this relationship yet again? Make me play this game again with my family and then be on the outs with them for 6 months? And so that's part of the thing that I began to do in the fourth step. And then when I do step five and share it with another person, I've shared it with a sponsor. The first time I did my I did a fourth step. I knew it wasn't even worth reading to anybody. I never shared it. Did another one. Shared it with someone who was leaving the country in 3 days. So I figured, perfect. And literally, I guess I had about 4 weeks of abstinence at that point. And I'd been in the program for 3 or 4 years, getting 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 days, that type of thing. And I just woke up. I couldn't get back to sleep. And my mind was going, and I said, okay, I got to do something. And for me, the most tangible thing that I could do was the steps. Everything else was theoretical at that point. So writing something down, like the fourth step, was something tangible. And it was only a page and a half. It was short and sweet, but it was probably the most honest inventory I've ever done, as much as I had capacity for. A lot of stuff I began remembering as I began doing more and more inventories. But this one, when I did my fourth step and then we went, I shared it with him, even before he left the country, I felt this amazing sense of relief. I walked out of that meeting, and it was as if I felt part of the world. It was my first taste of a spiritual experience. And I'd been in the rooms and thought I'd had some spiritual experiences, but it was nothing compared to sharing that with someone and discovering that what I thought about and what I did was not that abnormal. It was probably pretty tame along most lines. But the other thing that happened as we began going through this is drawing out, and it became very, very clear, the patterns that I was recreating to keep me in the food. And if I begin to take away those patterns, the reason to go back to the food becomes less and less and less. The other thing I discovered is a lot of memories that I walked around with weren't true. A lot of things that happened in my childhood didn't happen, at least not the way I remembered them. And as we got down, I was like, well, wait a minute. And I began to see that my recollection was not necessarily correct in certain instances. And so, you know, when we come into OA and we tell our stories, we're telling a story. And that story can change, especially when you begin getting into what happened, what I brought to the table, and then looking at it with another person. I began to see that, well, maybe there was a different way to look at these situations. And my story changed. You can go back and change the past. And in a sense, I believe we all walk around with this idea of who we are and how the world is and what happens to us, and I'm just looking to reinforce that. And I reinforce it with food. Changing that past really helped break that cycle of going back to the food, being abstinent for 2 months or 2 weeks or 2 days, and then constantly slipping and going back out there again. That broke it. After that point, I went 13 years and stayed abstinent. And I just, at a certain point, began to think I could handle this pretty much on my own, didn't have a sponsor, took a break from meetings for a while, put on 70 pounds, and then, well, discovered that my way didn't work. But going back to, courage and integrity, I think the thing is that in step six, after we do four and five, it talks about humility. And a good definition that they talk about, I think in the AA's 12 and 12, is God's concept of who we are. Not my concept of who I should be, but my higher power's concept of who I am, and to work towards that ideal. And usually that ideal is a lot better than my ideal and a lot less strict. And the only way I can get to that is to sit down and see what's there in that fourth step inventory and to take a look and see what I brought to the table and how I created a lot of the resentments that were running my life. It doesn't mean that other people did not have a part. They certainly did. But 5 and 10 and 15 years later after the event, I'm still reliving it, thinking about it. It's affected my relationship with them. At that point, it really is my issue. And having someone there, I got to see a different perspective. One, it made me a lot more honest because I was going to have to read it to someone. And two, I got perspective that I would have never have gotten. You know, it's just one compulsive overeater talking to another and discovering that we're not alone. And for me, that was a very, very spiritual experience. And at that point, for me, I felt not that anything was possible, but I saw that I had an opportunity to live my life differently, not only on the plate, but in my relationships with other people and even with myself. I constantly walked around beating myself up. I was, you know, no one would do what I did to myself. I look back on it. There was a lot of things I didn't pursue. because of the negative thoughts in my head and what I thought about things. I played tennis as a kid. And at one point, I started working with this new coach who at that time was teaching some pros on the circuit. And we went out and hit, and he said, okay, we're going to change your grip, your stance, a bunch of things. Come back next week. Came back next week. We started hitting. And after about 5 minutes, he goes, how long do you practice what we worked on last week? And I said, I didn't. I just didn't have time. And he said, well, you're hitting perfectly. Perfectly. Everything I gave you. He says, you want to play pro? You'll play pro. Want to play college? You'll play college. You can do and be at any level you want, but don't waste my time. So let me know, do you want to go pro or not? And I said, yes. And I never went back. Just beating myself up. That was 1981. I didn't pick up a tennis racket again, just even to play till about 1997. And it was that negativity, beating myself up. I can't do this. No, it's not going to work out. You know, also, too, I think you got to be kind of weird to hit a ball over a net 8 hours a day. But, you know, that's, as you notice, no kids of tennis pros ever go on to play tennis. There's a reason. But that and so many other things stopped me. And in going back and looking at it and writing that stuff down and the resentments I had to myself, I was able to see that pattern, that underlying thought, that character defect, that if I could pray to have it removed, and I actually believed that there was a higher power that would remove that character defect, my life would change. But my job in 6 and 7, after I asked my higher power to remove that, is to start living my life like it did change. So when I had more fear of it, financial insecurity, and I actually had financial insecurity, you know, nothing in the bank account. I call my sponsor. I'm like, I'm broke. As he likes to remind me now, you know, that was 2009, 2010. And he goes, are you broke yet? I go, well, no. But I was broke then. And he goes, and what happened? I said, well, you know, this thing, that thing. He goes, oh, it worked out. You were taken care of. Oh, okay. So why are you wasting your time worrying about this? I had a sponsor who went out, and he used to say, after the first miracle, it's rude to doubt. How many times does it have to be proven that you're going to be taken care of, that you can stay abstinent through anything, and then still not believe it's going to happen for me? Why? Because I'm this awful person. I have to use the inventory process to get rid of that. And that allows me to suddenly turn around from just always being self-obsessed, looking at me, and go out and be able to have relationships and to be able to be a part of the world and contribute and get free of the food. So with that, my time is up. Thank you. Now is the meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes. To give others a chance to share, and this meeting will end at 12:55. This records, but it does not, it doesn't amplify. So who would like to start? Yes. Okay.
Hi again, my name is Rhonda.
Hi.
When I'm in doubt that God's going to take care of everything. Yeah, my sponsor and I are working. I've worked the 12 steps. I came in, I'll qualify for you. I came in January 3rd of 2012 at 414 pounds. Since that date, as you can tell, I've lost a little bit of weight. But I've also lost, with each pound, I've lost an emotional pound of weight. I've lost 188 pounds since that point. The concept of who God is and how he treats me, and oh my gosh, that's so funny that you talk like that, because we're working on this step 10 just to really get it solid for me, And I was reading through one of the steps that we were doing in an as-built sees it. And on page 39, last year, I had written down, struggling with money, and I'm so desperate to get something in the bank, and I had this check, and I couldn't get it cashed, and I was all frantic. Well, I fast forward a year. I've done some work in that area. Have gone through a class. If you don't know about Financial Peace University, it's a fabulous thing. But what's interesting is that just 1 year's time makes such a difference for me. And am I willing to look at the stuff and why it reoccurs? Okay, struggling, even in a more worse situation this year financially, and God wanted me here today. And so my friend did that. She took care of me for my 2 year anniversary. That was how my friend, my fellow, took care of me. And you know, God keeps humbling my heart in ways that I don't understand, other than to break that next layer down. I call this body sometimes my stinking onion, because with each new layer comes something stinky that I have to undo and get rid of. And so what's neat is that with each new layer is more beauty that God brings. And so I stand up here humble, changed. This program has definitely changed my life. I am not the same person who walked through the doors of OA at 414 pounds. But thank you for letting me share and letting me know that each one of you shares something with me. Thank you.
Who's next?
I'm Karen. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi. I could really relate to what you talked about with your tennis. I did the same thing. I used to be very good at, you know, I was a good flautist, played the flute. I was a good athlete. But when I started high school and went to this big school, I had fear and I just quit everything. I was afraid I couldn't do it. And then a few years later, I started doing drugs and had food and drugs. And I pretty much, my growth stopped at that point. And then I had, you know, I had a bad marriage, 3 kids to raise. And I just always hid my emotions and didn't learn to deal with anything. And then when I turned 50, my kids were grown. And of all things, I read Eat, Pray, Love. And that book made me realize that I was missing something. I was missing a spiritual side. I was pretty much, I realize now that I was an atheist. I couldn't admit to that back then. But so this program has really been a struggle for me. I've been in OA for 3.5 years, and I have gained so much. But I'm still working. I know step 3 is the foundation for me. And I really liked what you said, too, about if you can do your step 4, it's just a reinforcement that your step 3 is working. So I really like that. I'm just trying to get step 3. And I think, you know, step 4 is definitely going to reinforce that there is a higher power. There's been so much that's reinforced that in my life. Anyway, that's all I have to say, so thank you.
Hi, I'm Christina, compulsive overeater.
Hi, and thank you so much, Peter. I really, really resonated with a lot of the things that you shared about. And I came into this program because I couldn't have right relationships with people. and I used food to create a nice barricade. And so I would obsess about my body, I would obsess about food, and if I was out to, if I was at a meal, then I was paying more attention to what was on my plate than anything you were saying to me. And people asked me, how much weight did you lose? Before 10 years before I came into program, I lost about 48 pounds. And then when I entered program, I gained 10 pounds. So I went through a period where I had restricted my food. So I've seen both ends of the spectrum of the eating disease. But this program has created such a freedom for me. And I remember with step four, I started it with one sponsor. And I thought I would never finish it. It went on for a year. And then I end up starting with a new sponsor, and I started the fourth step. So all in all, it took me about two years to get through my fourth step. It was 960 resentments, and they each had little subcategories. I mean, I was compulsive, you know. I was like, okay, and I have this resentment about this person. And what I realized is it was death by a thousand paper cuts. And so none of the things in my life, I have not done anything absolutely egregious, I haven't killed anyone, but it was these sharp little things. This person did this, or they slighted me, or I shouldn't be asked to do this. And it was so many little tiny cuts that this resentment caused me to have a life that was not the life that I was meant to live, that my higher power does not want me to have. I felt very trapped in my life. Doing the fourth step, finally doing it, I was determined. I was like, I will finish this thing, because I swore that I was afraid I wouldn't. And so it was the fear that I would never finish this thing that got me to say, okay, no matter what, I'm going to finish my fourth step. And then my fear was that something would happen to my sponsor before I would be able to read it to her, because it took so long. And also and then I felt ashamed, not because I didn't mind sharing the things. I'm pretty open. I don't mind sharing with a lot of people. I was ashamed that I thought that nobody would take the time to listen to my fourth step. And it was really powerful to sit down with a sponsor who had what I wanted, and she's speaking tomorrow. I'm very, very happy for her. And she listened to me patiently, and afterwards I felt hungry. Quite honestly, I felt hungry after I read her my fifth step. But it wasn't like people talk about, it wasn't like this like big... Am I being time? Oh, okay. So I'll finish up. It wasn't this big lightning rod of like, oh, the sky opened. It's been this unraveling and unraveling throughout 4 years. I joined 4 years ago. And my life today, and I'll wrap up, is so different. It's so different. And I feel, and I'll finish by saying, I feel like I was going through life wearing this tight corset of like, do this, be this way, look this way, be this person, smile, smile. And then suddenly throughout the steps, like they've released this corset and I can just breathe and... You know, that's it. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Peggy, compulsive eater. And thank you, Peter, for your share. It hit me right where I needed to be. I'm just about to launch into a fourth step. And I am in another program, and I did it, my 12 steps through there, but I'm realizing I didn't hit this one. It's a mother load to me that I just really didn't want to look at, and it has to do with my part in financial insecurity, but haven't really framed it that way throughout my life. I have framed it from having a bad childhood that didn't teach me, and having a lot of resentment about that. And then framed it further by in my marriage that it's pretty much my husband's fault, you know. I might be a little bit at part, you know, and as it says in the big book, like when the Actors Guild thing, that I might be a little bit at part, but really it's more him. And so what I'm realizing a few months ago, you know, all right, that is it. I am opening up a new savings account, and I'm going to be putting money in there for every paycheck I get, and that money will be there for me in the summertime when I need to separate from you because you just aren't looking at your stuff, and that was, you know, that's in my plan. Well, as I'm noticing, as I'm starting to approach my fourth step, I'm getting a little weak-kneed about that because, oh, crap. I have a big part in this, and that means, so not only that, but now my pride is going to be challenged because I've made this statement to him and I need to follow through, but I know it's not integritable. It might be down the road. I pray to God not, but because I love him, you know, he's my best friend, but whoa, this financial stuff just sucks between us. Sucks, sucks, sucks. And it's just not the way it should be. We should be better. And oh yeah, on and on and on. And it's mainly his fault. You know, I'm convinced. So, that I'm having to look at this myself, or I'm about to start looking at this myself, it's affecting my pride because it might change that. I might have a tail between my legs a little bit more, like, okay, maybe it's not just him, and maybe I do bring things to the table, and can I change some things to not break up a family if not necessary? So it's scary for me. I'm really needing humility. I'm really needing to... I thought I was a humble person. I really did. It's something that I have a relationship with God, but this is going to take me to another level of trust, of letting go. And so it's good to share about that. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Elisa, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Peter, thank you so much for your share. I really need to pray for surrender and willingness to, like, let go and get into a four-step because I'm avoiding it. 2.5 years in program, 60 pounds down, and I've maintained it. And I'm telling you, putting down the food was easier than delving into this four-step. And I have to say it out loud and, like, admit the fear because... otherwise, I'm afraid I'm just not going to do it. And I really need to surrender this because there's fear of not just, I mean, I want God to relieve me of the things that I've held myself back from doing in life because I really believe that the resentments keep me from moving forward and keep me in the fear of delving into the things that I want to explore in my life. And I'm also afraid of sponsoring. And, like, I can't be, I want to give away what I've got and what I've received because I've received gifts from hundreds of people that I knew, that I've met, that I haven't met, that I've heard, from CDs. I just, all these people have given me the gift of honesty. And how can I move forward if I'm not willing to share that, but I'm so afraid I'll do it wrong, or I'm so afraid that I'll be judgmental, or I'll try and control, because I'm controlling. Oh, my God, I'm just like this huge control freak. And so I have, like, all this stuff, and I just have to let the chatter die down and have faith and believe that I'll be guided. And that's harder than putting down the foods that were stopping my life from moving forward. And I you really inspired me, like, to say it out loud, because if I don't do that, I don't think I can do the writing. And I love to write, but not that, not the four step. That is so... I love the humbleness of laughing in a room. Isn't it great? Like, to laugh at, like... because that will move me forward. And it's like, it's amazing to be able to do that and lighten up a little bit and not be so scared of it. But I do, I love to write, but not that. Not the big book way. Not any way. Like I've had so many ways suggested, oh, they're all good. But you know what it's doing? It's taking me out of program now because I'm finding little ways to, now I'm not doing my 10 stuff every night. And then I'm like, maybe I had a few extra of this. I know I'm a bite away from a binge and a purge. And if I let this fear of the four step come into play, I'm going to lose what I've got. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, my name is Shannon, compulsive overeater. I heard so much, and I heard earlier today that what I need to hear will come, and what I need to hear has come to me. I really need a a fourth step on financial insecurity because last June I was completely free of credit card debt, and being a compulsive personality, I just went to about $4,000 over the summer and Christmas and whatever, and that clearly is not my higher power's plan for me. And I have been in and out of abstinence for the last 2 years, and I realized that part of when I do things like that, compulsively spend or compulsively do compulsively get involved in this drama here or that drama there, I know the thing that I have to do is go eat because I feel so bad about myself. So I know today that the only way to arrest that part of my life is to inventory it and get really honest about my disease. And one of the ways is this is God's money, it's not mine, but I don't think he's going to take care of me. I have that fear that if I don't manage and control it, that somehow I'm not going to have enough. I always have the fear of not having enough. And I know that for me, where I come from in my particular faith and relationship with my higher power is that he wants me to, you know, give away 10% every month. And I'm so afraid to let go of that. I'm so afraid to trust him that I'll have enough. And it's just, I'm at a time in my life where I have enough and I can do that. But just relinquishing control is just so scary for me. So I know that I'm ready to four-step that. I just realized that right now. That's the gift you have given me, is that I am ready to four-step that, that I'm ready to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. And, you know, the evidence for me of that really working in my life is going to be that fourth step. And I know that I'm going to clean up the wreckage. I'm ready to clean up all that, you know, that $4,000 compulsive crap that I did over the summer, and I'm ready to clean that up. And I admit that I'm powerless, and I know that's paving the way for God to be in full operation in my life. And I'm just grateful because today I've heard things that I really need to hear. The answers have come. And I'm abstinent today, and I have a little bit of time under my belt. And that's been a miracle for me over the last 2 years. I can only do this one day at a time, but I know a fourth step is part of that answer. Thank you so much, Peter.
Hi, I'm Pamela. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi. And I'm so happy to be here, and thanks everyone for your shares and Peter for your lead. And this has just been amazing. This is my second OA birthday party. I'm just here for the day. And I'm working on my sixth step now. And I'm one of those people. I mean, many of us are. We're here and we're perfectionists. So if we can't figure out how to do it perfectly, we're not going to do it. Yeah, so with my fourth step, it took me over 6 months. I did the workbook, and my sponsor had me write things out. Then I was trying to figure out the best outline to do it, so I looked on the internet, looked up every program. Everybody told me this. I'd look at that one, get copies of this. People would copy it and give it to me. Did I do it? No. No, I needed to do more research. So then I would go to YouTube and look up the fourth step and find whatever I could and listen to those things. And then, did I do it? No. Then I went to church and there was a barbecue, and the guy there he's 35 years in AA, and he leads the 12-step workshop. Every year he has one in Ventura County, 12 weeks long. So he at the barbecue, like in May, he gave me copies of what he uses. So I took that. Did I do it? No. 3 months later, I go to his 12-step workshop. You had to write something down about what your purpose was. It was what? To do my fourth step. 12 weeks later, he asked if the question was, did you fulfill your purpose of coming? And the answer was no. So I got up and I admitted that, and he said, basically what he said, why would you want to keep your suffering going one more day? You know, why would you want to have that tooth paining you, that slow pull, instead of just having it out? Then I heard some people say, well, you'll do it when the timing is right. But sometimes when you're a perfectionist, it's like that time is never going to be right because you're still going to be doing the research. His thing was go home, start it. It's like, well, I'll do it in 2 weeks. I'll do it in 2 weeks. Why do it in 2 weeks? Why don't you just go home and do it tonight? But I couldn't do it that night. But then once I finally got it, because I remember in the big book where it says that by the time you finish the ninth step, you will be recovered. Why stall one more moment? Why stall one more day? I had started portions of it, but I finally did it. I had 60 resentments. And then when I went to give, and it was so, and then I went to talk to my sponsor to read it to her. And like they say, I was just like basically everyone else. Few of us are murderers or anything. Some of us may be, but most of us have the same stories from our childhood and all those other things. So they probably get bored after a while listening to all those stories. But, yeah, just do the work. It's, just do the work. Yeah, thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
Hi, I'm April, compulsive overeater. So thank you for your share. What I took from it was not letting lack of courage or not letting your fear stop you from doing things. And so I'm standing up here because I really, really don't want to be standing up here at all. I hate opening my mouth at meetings. I'm terrified of letting you hear what I have to say. I'm terrified that I have nothing to offer you. I'm terrified of turning red standing up here. But this program has taught me that basically the things that I'm most afraid of doing are usually the most worthwhile things once I'm done with them. And pretty much every single time, it's something that I'm really learning to incorporate into my life. Just every single day, there are tiny little things that I'm afraid to do, and doing them helps me cultivate courage to help me do bigger, scarier things every time. So little by little, because of you guys, I'm becoming less afraid. So thanks.
Hi, I'm Marty, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Marty.
I've been grappling with a couple of resentments that I thought I had dealt with that keep coming up, and I've been grappling with the fact that when do you let go of resentment versus when do you have to deal with the resentment, especially when it comes to relationships and especially when it comes to relationships with the people that you live with. And, you know, where's the line? Where's the line of having to go to that person and say, this, this, and this is what's going on, and we need to work on this together, or you walk away and you let God take care of it. This has been hard for me. And I think what I brought from the words that you shared with us today and just being here all day and being with a very good friend of mine is that these couple of resentments keep coming up because I haven't dealt with them or given them away. And I need to do that. I need to face that. Thanks.
Okay.
Yes. Everybody who shared at this meeting and spoke at the microphone needs to sign the speaker release. That also has space for everybody else to sign it as well because these sessions are all taped. Thank you.
So just come up here and see me afterwards. It is now time to close the session. I'd like to thank those of you who gave service at this session and all of you for attending. After a moment of silence, please join hands as we close with the Serenity Prayer.
Keep coming back. It works if you work it and you're worth it.